What is the church? The church is the people of God, powered by the Spirit of God, guided by the Word of God, working for the glory of God. This is the church. The church is not just a place. The church is the people. The church is not just a monument. It's a movement. The church is not just a building. It's a body. The church is not just an accessory. It's a necessity. This is the church. The Bible says the church is the hope of the world, the salt of the earth, and the city on a hill. The church is the family of God, the body of Christ, and light in the darkness. The church is God's plan A, and there is no plan B. The church is where all kinds of people, from all kinds of places, come together to forsake their sins and to worship their Savior. Where chains are broken and broken hearts are put back together. Where prodigals come home and captives are set free. This is the church. Where blind eyes are opened and good news is preached. Where the low are lifted up and the proud are brought low. Where the lost are found and the helpless find help. Where brothers and sisters can find love and acceptance from each other and from their Father in heaven. This is the church. Where the disciples of Jesus are built up in their most holy faith. The church is where the gospel is. The church is where grace is. The church is where God is. The church is you. The church is me. The church is all of us. This is the church.
We are the church, people of God. We are the church. That is great news. It's not just some kind of phrase. We are the church, people of God. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Yes. Yes. Wow. Wow. I have a whole lot to say, but a little time. So I'm going to respect all of you, okay? But let me just say this, and you know I say this all the time. You guys are beautiful souls. You got to know that. You have to know that. So, you know we love the word here. Oh, no, you didn't hear me. I said we love the word here. We love the word here. Yes, people. Whether you know it or not, he's preparing you for outside these four walls. What are you going to do with the word of God? Don't just sit on it. Okay. Let me just read this. Oh, amen. Help me, Holy Spirit. This is coming from Psalms. I just want to encourage you today. Man, this is coming from Psalms 139. I'm just going to read a couple verses. David said, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path. Am I lying down? And are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." Let me jump over to verse 13. "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." I praise you. "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made." He's talking about you. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret. He made you in secret so he can reveal the secrets of the world to you. That's a whole nother. Intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Here it is. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Here it is. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I had to count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. One more verse, please. I love you. Ah, Philippians. Holy Spirit, help me. He knows you. He's longing for you to get to know him. He wants to reveal himself to you. Philippians, here it is. I love you, Jesus. Philippians, third chapter, verse number 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Stephanie, what are you trying to say today? I'm glad you asked. People of God, as we sit here and we posture ourselves in the presence of God, because he's with us at all times. All. A-L-L. All. And people of God, everywhere you go, he's already been. Everywhere you, he's already been. And I read the verse, help me, Holy Spirit. Philippians 3. Paul is saying, you know what? Jesus, you already know the number of hairs that's on my head. Your thoughts towards me, I can't count them all. And so, people of God, as we stand before the throne room of heaven, Father God is longing and waiting for you, and Pastor has said it, for you to welcome him. Yes. You have to welcome him. Scripture says, come near to God, and God will come near to you. Yes. He's waiting. Amen. Philippians 3, just read it. Why is that so important, Stephanie? Here it is. Because Jesus has already apprehended you all. Yes. Now he's waiting for every single one of us to apprehend him. Yes. So people of God, let's stand up. And let's give Jesus, the King of the universe, the highest praise, as though it is your first time ever meeting him, as though it's your first time ever mentioning his name. He's been good to us, oh God. So, Father, even now, we lift Jesus up. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Fill this room, oh God. Let the people of God know that wherever you're at, wherever we've been, you've already been there, Father. And so, Father, as we stand here in your presence, we worship you. We adore you. We love you. We magnify your name. We lift you up. Our thoughts towards you are precious. We love you because you first loved us. Now, Father, by your Holy Spirit, seal this moment. Yes. Let us not take it lightly. The opportunity, the honor and the privilege to stand here and give you praise. Because, Father, you've made us the church. We are the church, and we give you praise. In Jesus' awesome name, amen. Amen.
I'm Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
As a diamond is set in a gold ring, so his covenant is towards us, and it's everlasting.
Thank you, Jesus, that you do.
We do walk in your covenant and your covenant promises. And we thank you that you crown us just with your glory. We thank you and praise you. And we bring our praises to you. We joyously bring our offerings of praise, of thankfulness to you. We thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we glorify you with our love, with our words, with our very presence. We bring glory to you. Thank you, Jesus. And we know it's your desire. We know that sometimes we don't always feel close to you, but whether we feel close to you or not, we know that you are always present within us. You will always dwell within these vessels. You are always present with us, and your desire is for us to be present with you. So thank you, Jesus, that you show us every day. You teach us and educate us and lead us every day into knowing how to enter into your presence, knowing how to enter into your presence in deeper and more intimate and more personal ways. This is our heart's desire because this is the way you created us. So we thank you and praise you, Jesus. We give ourselves to you during this time, during this service. Our souls are open to hear your word and what you have to share with us. And we give you the praise for all of it. In your name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. You guys can be seated. So as far as I know, just one birthday, which is coming up this Friday. Christian in Virginia. I don't know what, you guys know what year it is for him? Still in his 20s.
Yes.
All right. Happy birthday, Christian. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for Christian. I thank you for the man of God that you created him to be. I think about the first times I even saw Christian, the first times that I even saw pictures of Christian, but the very first time that I met him in person, I can still see his eyes, and I can see the genuineness and the sincerity of who he is and his love for you. I can see the gentleness. I can see the caring. I can also see the strength. I can see the warrior's heart for you. So I thank you and I praise you for Christian, and as he gets ready to celebrate a birthday this Friday, we celebrate with him and we say thank you, Jesus, for sharing with us your very unique creation of Christian. And as he gets ready to enter into the next year that you have for him, I know that he has no idea of the good things and the blessings, the joys that you have for him. I thank you and I praise you that it's going to be a year when things are uncovered, that things he's never seen before, it's like the veil is open and he's able to see things he's never seen before. And it stirs brand new excitements in him. And he gets to see and realize at a deeper level the plans that you have for him. So we lift him up. I thank you that every single day of the year to come is just a day of joy. It is a day where he opens up his heart to praise you. It is a day of just walking into all the goodness that you have for him. In your name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Who's ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
So over the last couple of weeks, I've started each Sunday by giving you the obvious. And the obvious is the world around us is broken. And it can only be fixed by Jesus Christ. I know, that's why I said it's obvious. It can only be fixed by Jesus Christ, by his truth, his love, and his word. Amen. But then I also gave you a lesser known, a less obvious truth. And this is a Hebrew phrase, tikkun olam. Tikkun olam means fixing the broken world. So we see that revivals have been taking place across our nation. And these revivals that we see, it just shows us that this is the opening. This is an opportune moment. This is a time when we are able to bring repairs to this broken world. The spiritual door is ajar to the world. in the world for this period, they are open to receive the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we have a job and we have a responsibility to make sure that we are doing our part. We have a responsibility to represent Him. We have a responsibility to do our part and an opportunity to bring, to help bring repairs to this broken world. And our example over these last 2 weeks has been a man from the Bible called Obed-Edom. And if you remember, Obed-Edom was a contemporary of King David. And if you recall, David was afraid to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the city of Jerusalem following the death of Uzzah. And so David sent the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. He sent the presence of God to the house of Obed-Edom. And the Bible tells us that Obed-Edom, his family, all that he had, and all that were with him were blessed all the days that the presence of God was in his house. As we welcome his presence here in these houses, as we welcome his presence from our spirit, where he dwells, into our soul, our mind, our thoughts, our personality, the unique eternal creations that each one of us are, as we welcome his presence from our spirit into our soul, the world around you is going to see his blessings and his favor and his power exemplified in your life. They're going to take note of it just as David took note of the blessings of God on the household of Obed-Edom. So Obed-Edom, his desire was to be in the presence of God. Obed-Edom welcomed the presence of God into his house. And we also learned that, over the last couple of weeks, that Obed-Edom, he was blessed well beyond those 3 months that the Ark of the Covenant was actually in his household. We saw that he was placed again and again and again in positions of honor to serve God. Remember that when the Ark of the Covenant was finally moved into the city of Jerusalem, Obed-Edom had the honor of being a doorkeeper. In other words, he was either right before or right after. He was immediately in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. He was one that got to play musical instruments with Asaph as they were bringing and praising God as they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city of Jerusalem. And once it came into the city of Jerusalem and it was placed in the tent that David had prepared for it, Obed-Edom was given the honor of being a gatekeeper of the tent of the Ark. And then when the temple was eventually built, Obed-Edom was given the honor of being a gatekeeper at the temple of God, the presence of God. While we have the honor of carrying his presence inside us. And while we have that honor, we must also remember that we are gatekeepers of these temples of the Holy Spirit. So we need to keep out all that is impure, all that is unholy. So the title gatekeeper, if you remember, it comes from a Hebrew word which also can be defined or interpreted as keeper of the threshold. In other words, these are those who guarded the threshold to the temple of God. And remember, for the Jews, the threshold represented that sacred space between the natural realm and the spiritual realm. The threshold represented for the Jews the crossing over of the natural realm into the spiritual realm, into the very presence of God. We have the honor of carrying his presence in us. And we are also the keepers of the threshold. That means you and I, because we have the Holy Spirit in us as believers in Jesus Christ, we are invited, we are welcomed every single day into the presence of God. We're welcomed to be with him. We're invited to a deeper intimacy with Jesus Christ every single day. We have that invitation to learn more of what that's like. So then the question becomes, how do we enter in to that deeper intimacy with him? Because he wants to show us. He wants to teach each one of us, we who are the keepers of the threshold. And it all begins with the blood. Amen. We, you and I, we are redeemed and born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, if you and I, if we will be willing to see the greater things of the spiritual realm, he will show us how to cross over that threshold into the deeper things. But it all starts, it all begins by learning to see red. We need to learn to see red. We need to learn to see through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, over the years, I've used these glasses to show you a different concept, but it ties in. So these were given to Don and I. We used to collect blue glass. My stepfather gave us this. So these are blue lenses, pretty stylish, yes? I bet not. So as I look at you guys, because I'm looking through these blue lenses, everything is blue. You know, right now, Doug is a beautiful shade of blue. The snow is blue. Everything is blue as I look through these. And what I've told you in the past was, this is an example for us. When God looks at you, because we see ourselves and we see the weaknesses, we see the failures. When God looks at you, it's like he puts on his Jesus glasses and he sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees you as the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what I've used these glasses to show you in the past. But this cuts two ways. Because you and I, we can also, I wish I had red glasses, we can also put on our Jesus glasses. We can learn to see red. We can put on our Jesus glasses and we can see the world around us through the blood of Jesus. If we will learn to take the baby steps of every single day, learn to take those small baby steps, learning how to see through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then when you look at the situations or the circumstances of your life, you can look at them not through the eyes of the world, but you can look at the circumstances and the situations of life through the blood of Jesus Christ. So that way, if the world tells you, oh, you've got sickness or you've got disease, you can say, I'm going to look at this through the blood of Jesus Christ. What does the word tell me? And I will know that by the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. When the world tells you that you are being overcome and defeated by a situation or by a circumstance, you can choose to look through the blood of Jesus and say, what does the word of God tell me? And you can say, no, I am an overcomer in Jesus who has already overcome all things. It's a matter of choosing to look at things through the blood of Jesus Christ. Take the baby steps to learn every day. Take baby steps to see everything through the blood of Jesus Christ. Learn to see red. Now, this is interesting. Babies, for the first 4 to 6 weeks that they're alive, babies see only in black and white with shades of gray. Babies see only, what is it called? Monochrome. Thank you. Yes. They see monochromatic, just black and white with shades of gray. But then the full richness of color comes in to illustrate to them the beauty of the creation, God's creation. But here's the thing. Color just doesn't all come at once. They see babies, once they go from black and white, they see the world through one color first. Guess which color it is? Babies, yes. It would have been a poor setup if it wasn't red. Babies see red. That's the first color they see is red. They see the world first through red. This is a reminder to us. It's the way that he's created us. We need to take the baby steps of every day seeing red, learning to see our lives through the blood of Jesus Christ. As we learn to see red, you will learn to enter into his presence. This is what Hebrews tells us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have full freedom and confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies by the power and virtue in the blood of Jesus, learn to see red. See things in red. You and I, we spend too much of our lives seeing our life and seeing the world in black and white. You know, spiritually, all we're doing is we're just seeing in black and white. In other words, we're only seeing the lesser realities of the natural realm. We need to learn to see red. We need to learn to see life through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then we're going to be able to look beyond, to look deeper, beyond the realities of this natural realm. Then we get to see the chromatic beauty, the full living color of the greater realities of the spiritual realm. Amen. Learn to stop seeing black and white. Learn to see red. See in the full blood of Jesus Christ. Because it's when we learn to see red, it's when we learn to see through the blood of the Lamb, the sacrifice Lamb, that's when we gain access into His presence. That's where we learn how to get into His presence. Look at what the very next verse in Hebrews chapter 10 tells us. This is from the Expanded Bible. We can enter through a new and living way that Jesus opened or restored, renewed, or inaugurated for us. It leads through the curtain, Christ's body, flesh, like the curtain of the Most High Place. Christ's body sacrificed for us provides access to the presence of God. By the stripes of Jesus, you have access into the presence of God. And you have the Spirit of God inside of you to show you and to guide you and direct you into learning how we enter into His presence. And that's what He desires for us. His presence is in here. He desires our presence with Him. His presence is in us. He desires our presence within Him. Now, with understanding all of this and keeping this in mind, and remembering that this is a season of tikkun olam, of fixing the broken world, and remember that our example is Obed-Edom. This is beautiful. Even Obed-Edom's name points us to seeing red. In Hebrew, the name Obed means servant. He's our example. We are His servants. The name Edom means red. Red or ruddy. And it comes from a Hebrew root word which means blood. We are servants of the blood of Jesus Christ. We're servants of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we need to learn to see in red, and we need to learn to see life itself, our lives, and everything that comes up in our lives. We need to learn to see it through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, as we live our lives of servants of the blood of Jesus Christ, we will serve Him well. If you're worried about serving Him well, learn to see red and see your life through the blood of Jesus Christ. Learn to become a servant of the blood of Jesus Christ, and we serve Him well. Also from Hebrews chapter 9. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanses your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The more we see red, the more we see things through the blood of Jesus Christ, the more we are seeing things through Him, not seeing our faults, not seeing the things of the flesh, but we're seeing things through His blood. We're seeing the greater realities of the spiritual realm. Let's go back to David. So when David was preparing to move the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, this time with proper reverence and this time with proper obedience. Remember, he did it initially not obeying what God had said in Numbers. But this time he's getting ready to move the Ark of the Covenant with proper reverence and with proper obedience. And when he did so, David himself saw red. In other words, he saw the importance of making a sacrifice offering of blood. A foreshadow of what Jesus, of course, would do for all people with the sacrifice of His blood. Here's what happened. As David was getting ready, so the Ark of the Covenant has been in the house of Obed-Edom, who welcomed the presence of God into his house. Well, now David has learned, he understands, he has seen the blessings of God upon Obed-Edom. And it's inspired David to do the right thing and to do it properly. And so now he sees red. Here's what he does. As the Ark of the Covenant is being taken out of Obed-Edom's house, and there's thousands of people who are part of this assembly to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. Thousands of people are there. The instruments are there. They're singing. Everything is in order. The Kohathites are the ones who have the poles through the Ark of the Covenant. They take six steps, just six steps away from Obed-Edom's house, and David stops them there so he can offer a sacrifice of blood to God. This is what it says. This is 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Now it was told King David, saying, The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and he brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. We have the honor of carrying his presence within us. And we are the keepers of the threshold. We have a daily invitation. Welcome to be in his presence. And we, as we learn to serve him as servants of the blood of Jesus Christ, as we learn to do that, here's what happens. As we do that, the rest of the world, they see the power, they see the favor, they see the blessings. And the rest of the world is then inspired, just like David was. Then the rest of the world is inspired to obey God with gladness. This is the beginning of fixing the broken world. It says we learn to see the things that he has laid out and spelled out for us so clearly. It's how we see things. It's learning to become servants of the blood. It's following the example of Obed-Edom. It's welcoming his presence. It's already here, but welcome his presence into the fullness of who you are. Now, there's something else that is noteworthy about Obed-Edom with all of this. After the Ark of the Covenant left the house of Obed-Edom, it left the house of Obed-Edom, but Obed-Edom, he didn't stay in his house. He could have remained in his house and he could have lived on the blessings of the favor of God from the 3 months that the Ark of the Covenant and the presence of God was in his house. He could have lived off that past relationship with God, but he did not. He went where the presence of God was. Obed-Edom is our example. He pursued closeness with God. He pursued that closeness and he was rewarded with being a gatekeeper, as are you and I. And all of this has to do in part, not fully, because it would take too long to go through it all, but it has to do in part with what we talked about a few weeks ago when we talked about the reverent fear of God. Now that has to do with things, other parts of reverence, of awe, but for our purposes today, part of the reverent fear of God that we see demonstrated by Obed-Edom, who wanted to just be in the presence of God, this is part of the reverent fear of God. It is an intense desire to be with him. Part of the reverent fear of God is a dread of being away from him. Part of the reverent fear of God is finding the lack of intimacy with God as being something that is unimaginable to us. Obed-Edom, he just wanted to be close to God, to the presence of God. And he was rewarded every step of the way with places or positions of honor in serving God. And guess what? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God today. As we desire to be in, if we have the simple desire of being in his presence, as we desire to be in his presence, he honors us with opportunities to be close to him in ways that you and I have not yet even imagined as we serve him. And that's exciting to think about. It's exciting to be aware that he has ways for you to be close to him here in this life because his presence is in you and he wants you to be present with him. And he has ways to make that happen in ways that we haven't even thought of or imagined yet. This is what he has for us. So as David brought the Ark of the Covenant and he brought it into the city of Jerusalem, we see that Obed-Edom served as a gatekeeper to the tent of the Ark of the Covenant. Why? Because here's Obed-Edom. Again, he just must be close to God. Obed-Edom always being close to God. And then for the next 20 years, Obed-Edom, his sons, and his grandsons, they all served as gatekeepers to the Ark of the Covenant. And then we pick up the story in 1 Chronicles chapter 26. So now 20 years have gone by. Now King David is beginning to make preparations for the building of the temple, which will house the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, where God meets with men. And it's the temple that his son Solomon will build. And as we read about these things, and as the assignments are being given out to who's going to be a gatekeeper where in the temple, we read this. This is in 1 Chronicles 26, verse number 15. To Obed-Edom, the south gate. Remember that. And to his sons, the storehouse. The south gate, as we're going to see, is important. But let me give you just a little background on this whole story. So we do know, of course, that Solomon's temple was built. Solomon's temple stood for about 400 years. And it was considered to be one of the great achievements. It was one of the great things of the ancient age. But then, of course, eventually Solomon's temple was destroyed by the Babylonians when the nation of Judah was conquered and went into captivity. But then they came back to Jerusalem and they rebuilt the temple of God during the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. And that second temple, that stood for almost 600 years until it was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. Now that second temple, it was built on the exact same site and to the exact same dimensions as the first temple, as the Temple of Solomon, the temple that we know that Obed-Edom served at. Now that second temple, it was expanded greatly by King Herod, but still, it gives us a picture, it gives us an insight into that first temple where Obed-Edom served, and it gives us a hint about the south gate and about the storehouses. From that second temple, we see that that south wall, and Joshua, let's have that first picture. We see the south wall, and the south wall, it actually had two different sets of gates. There was a double gate, and there was a triple gate. Now, for those of you who are watching, and you can't see my little red marker, if you just look towards the right side of the page, you can kind of barely see it, but right in here, we'll get a better look at it in a few minutes. Right in here, this is a triple gate. There's three gates there. Now, as you come over this way, and Joshua, let me have that second picture. Right here, there's a wall. So this is that corner. Now, this is a wall that was built later. I really don't remember if it was by the Muslims, the Crusaders, or Suleiman, but this is not part of the original one. So you can see right here, there's a round gate, and right here is the second part. Now, the wall obstructs it. But there are two gates that are there. So there was a double gate and there was a triple gate. Now this double gate that you see right there, if you were to remove that wall, the steps and the whole stairway system is much wider here at the double gate than it is at the triple gate. And just as a note, I will tell you that when we go to Israel, this is one of the places that we sit, and it's one of the places where we teach the Word of God. So much happened here. It's fabulous to see these steps and know that these are the very steps that Jesus himself walked up to when he went into the temple. So it's fabulous to be here. But we see that these steps, they're much wider here at the double gate than at the triple gate. And the steps are wider, and the entrance itself actually goes right up into the temple complex. So most everybody agrees that these double gates, this is where the average Jew, this is where the average person who was coming to the temple to celebrate one of these feasts or one of these festivals, this is how they made their entrance. They would enter in through one of these gates of the double gate, and then they would exit out the second one. So these double gates, it reminds us that you and I, we are gatekeepers. We have entrance into the presence of God. But even more, because Obed-Edom, he was the gatekeeper of the south gate. He's our example. We need to be like Obed-Edom. And as we welcome the presence of God into these houses, as we learn to see red and we learn to become the servants of the blood of Jesus Christ, not only do we have entrance, but as gatekeepers, we help guide others. We help guide the world into a relationship with Jesus Christ, to a relationship with Father God through Jesus Christ. That's the double gate. Now, let's go ahead one more, Joshua. This is the triple gate, and you can see it there. So this is the triple gate, and you can see that the steps, it's a much smaller stairway. So the assumption is that these are the gates by which the priests would enter into the temple complex. And this does have access directly into the temple complex. And there may well be a stair that goes up, but we know for sure that through this, there is a stairway that goes down. This is the south gate. This is where the priests enter. And there's a stairway that goes down. It goes down to an underground vaulted storerooms. So this sounds very much like what we read about with Obed-Edom and his sons. They were responsible for the south gate, and they were responsible for the storerooms, the storehouses. So the storerooms is where the people, when they'd make their offerings, they would bring them into the temple. They were stored in the storerooms, and they belonged to the priests. So think of those storerooms as being storehouses of blessings. So keep that thought in your mind, and then think about this. The double gate at the south wall, the double gate that reminds us that we are the keepers of the threshold. And we have entrance into the presence of God, and we are also the ones who are to lead others into that saving grace of Jesus Christ. And when we think about the triple gates remind us that we are the gatekeepers of these storehouses of God's favor, promises, and blessings. So I've told you this story before, but this is our pastor's pastor. So the man who ordained me in the ministry, his name is Moses Vey. And he used to come because he was my pastor's pastor. He would come, whenever he was in town, he would come and he would teach at Pastor Mickey's church. And there was one time that he told us this story. Ed actually read it in another book that someone else had written. But Moses Vey told us that he had this dream. And in this dream, he was in heaven, and he was walking with Jesus. And they're walking down this road in heaven, and on both sides, there's these huge warehouses, storehouses, on both sides. And Moses asked Jesus, "What are these buildings? What are these big warehouses?" And Jesus said, "Open up a door." So he opened up a door, and he looked inside, and as far as he could see, there was just stacked, one on top of another, all these crates and all these boxes, as far as he could see. The image he gave us is, how many of you guys have seen Raiders of the Lost Ark? You remember at the end of the movie? Yeah. They hide the ark, you know, in that warehouse somewhere in Washington, D.C. And it's like all you can see from floor to ceiling is just boxes. And so it's being hidden. Well, this is kind of the image. So Moses is looking in the storehouse, and he sees nothing but crates and stacks of boxes. And Jesus says, "This storehouse, this is someone's storehouse. Every single believer has a storehouse. And these are all of the promises that I've made for them, just waiting for that individual to receive." So picture yourself when you think about that. So here we have Obed-Edom. He is the gatekeeper of the south gate, and his sons are the ones that are over the storerooms. Picture, this is who we are. We are the gatekeepers. We are the ones who welcome the presence of God into this house. We are the gatekeepers, but we are also the ones who have the entrance into his presence, and we are the ones that have all of the blessings. So one more thing I want you to see. Okay, two more. Two more. I'll take a little bit more time. No, don't say that, because I will. So one of the other things I want you to see about these southern gates, and this is the last picture I have for you, but this is the same southern gates, but this is just a picture of the steps, because I want you to get in your mind these steps that are out at the southern gate of the temple. Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. All of those psalms, if you look in your Bible, they'll all say Psalm of Ascent. All of those psalms are psalms of ascent. These are the songs of joy that the Jews would sing as they were making their way. They knew they were going to the house of God. And these are the songs of joy that they would sing, knowing they were going to the house of God. So they would sing these psalms of joy, these psalms of ascent, as they ascended up to Jerusalem, as they ascended up Mount Moriah, and as they ascended up these very steps to go into the temple of God. Well, listen, you and I, we are the gatekeepers of the joy of the Lord. Yeah. Listen, there might be struggles, there might be sadness, and there's going to be heartache. It's going to be interlopers to us and into our lives because we live in this fallen world. But we are the gatekeepers of these temples of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit dwells in here, and the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Yes. His joy is yes. in us. You're a gatekeeper. Yes. You can open that up and release that into your life, regardless of the situation or the circumstances, because we are the gatekeepers of these storehouses. We can release that joy as we make our ascent daily by singing praise and worship and just being with Him. Okay, so one last thing on the Southern Gate. Let me go back. If you remember when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant out of Obed-Edom's house, and he just took only six paces, and then he stopped and he made the sacrifice offering. Six steps. Six is the number of man. Six is the number of man because David did all he could as a man. He did. He obeyed what he was supposed to do, but David had a different covenant. Six is the number of man, it's incomplete. Seven is the number of completion. If you look in the book of Ezekiel, look at verse chapter 40 of Ezekiel. It talks about all the things of the temple that is to come. And when Ezekiel sees in his vision, and he sees and he talks about the south gate, he says specifically there are seven steps that lead up to the south gate. So we see David, who did all that man could do under that covenant. He obeyed God, and he took the six steps. But you and I, we get to take all seven steps in Jesus Christ. We're the ones who get to take all seven steps into His presence because we have the fullness of Jesus Christ within us. Okay, one last thing on Obed-Edom. You all didn't think you'd get 3 weeks out of Obed-Edom. Here's the last thing. And to do this, I'm going to take us way back to when the Israelites were in the wilderness. And when they were in the wilderness, do you remember the account, the biblical account, of the rebellion of Korah from Numbers? So Korah rebelled against Moses and against Aaron and the authority of God. Now Korah was a Levite. And Korah was a Levite from the line of Kohath. Kohath was one of the three sons of Levi. So if you remember, we've talked about this the last 2 weeks, and actually a few months ago we talked about this. The Kohathites, they're the only ones who were allowed to carry the Ark of the Covenant. This is where Korah is coming from. Now Korah was dissatisfied with the amount of authority and power that Moses and Aaron had. And he thought that he and some others, they were entitled. They deserved more power and more authority. So he challenged Moses and Aaron. And Moses said, God will choose between, He'll decide between us tomorrow. And then this is exactly what Moses said to Korah. This is Numbers chapter 16, verses 8 and 9. Then Moses said to Korah, hear now, you son of Levi, is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to Himself, to do a work of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to serve them? This is what Moses was saying. He's saying, Korah, you and the Kohathites, you have been honored by God. God has set you apart for Him. He's telling Korah, God brought you close to Him. God made the intentional effort to bring you near to Him. Close to God brought you close to Him by assigning this work to you. But Korah, that was not enough. Being close to God was not enough for Korah and for those who were following Korah. And so the Bible tells us the next day the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and all the men that were with him and all of their household in an instant. Gone. Now, that's where we usually end the story. And I've actually heard people say, well, that was the end of the line of Korah, but that's not correct. The Bible makes it clear. Just 10 chapters later, this is what it says in Numbers 26, verse number 11. Nevertheless, the children of Korah did not die. And this is important because as you go through the book of Psalms, you're going to see a number of Psalms that are the songs of the sons of Korah. So Korah and those who were with him, even though God had given them the immense honor and blessing of being the ones that he positioned right next to him, close to him, but Korah and those that were with him, they did not have reverent fear of the Lord, as evidenced by the fact that being close to God was not enough for them. That wasn't enough. That was not paramount to them. And the earth swallowed them whole the next day. But now, generations after Korah, generations go by. But now, here comes another Kohathite. Not from the line of Korah, but another Kohathite, Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom, who wants nothing more than to be in the presence of God. He wants nothing more than to be close to God. So even at those moments in our lives where you may not feel close to God, you need to know His presence is in you. His Spirit is in your spirit. And His desire is for us to learn to be present with Him. We've seen less and less of about the revivals in the last few weeks. Less and less as there's less in the news about revivals breaking out of the different campuses across our country. But as I told you last week, every single one of those events shows us that this is a moment when the world is open to receiving the good news of Jesus Christ. This is a moment of tikkun olam. It is a moment of fixing the broken world. So we need to follow the example of Obed-Edom. We need to welcome His presence into these houses. Welcome His presence, His Spirit, from our spirit where He dwells into our soul, our mind, our thoughts, our personality, really into the entirety of who we are. And as we do so, the rest of the world will see the blessings, the favor, and the power of God in these houses of the Lord. And they will be drawn near to God. And meanwhile, while that's happening, you and I will learn to see red. We will daily be learning to see red, to dwell in His presence. We'll be learning to how to enter into the throne room of God. And by doing so, we'll be able to live our lives in this natural world as servants of the blood of Jesus Christ. These are the things that we learn from Obed-Edom. It's imperative that we understand the season that we're in and that we are obedient to do the things that He has set before us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus, we thank You and praise You. Thank You and praise You for Your word. Thank You that You just reveal so much from Your word. If we're open, You show us so much. You tie all the words, all the verses together. And we thank You, we praise You, we receive the truth. Thank You as we just consider these things, as we leave today and as we consider these things about Obed-Edom and in the days to come, I thank You that You continue to bring more revelation and You show us how You're going to use us. But You also just show us, encourage us to see red, to become Your servants of Your blood, Jesus, as we live for You. Let these lives glorify You. In Your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, before we close off in a song today, I want to ask if Stephanie would come up. And I'm going to ask also if Stephanie's parents, James and Stephanie, would come up as well. You guys come up. Stephanie, if you don't know, this is her last Sunday with us. Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah, see? Hold you. You cannot go. Stephanie is being obedient to the Lord who has called her to go to Florida. And this is something that she has been listening to, and this is not a rash decision. She has listened, and she is being obedient to God. And so while it saddens my heart more than I can express to you, saddens our heart to see you go, we want to make sure that we send Stephanie off with our prayers, with our covering, because Stephanie shall always be a part of this family, of this body. Come on up here. So I'm going to pray over them, but I also want Donna to come up. Jeff, if you want to come up. Anybody else that you just want to, you just want to be here, you can put your hands from there. You can come up here. You can pray. If someone else has something specific they want to pray over Stephanie as well, I want you to do that. But we're also going to pray for Stephanie and James, because as hard as this is going to be for us, this is a dramatic change for them. And I want them to feel, from this moment forward, I want James and Stephanie to know, I want them to feel always our love. Mm-hmm. And that while we can never replace Stephanie, we are their family here. Amen?
Yeah.
So Lord, I just thank You and I praise You. It's just such a great joy that You have brought Stephanie into our hearts and into our lives. And while we are saddened, that we're not going to see on every Sunday. We just rejoice in the fact that she is obedient. She listens to your voice and she is obedient. So we speak the fullness of every blessing, strength, deliverance, all the things. We don't know what Stephanie needs as she makes this transition, but she has put herself entirely in your hands. And we say thank you, Jesus, for the great things and the exciting things that she's going to realize and for the ways that you're going to use her and the ministry that you are going to develop, even more than what's on her heart right now. You're going to develop those things for her. But I thank you that Stephanie, every day, I know that she does, I thank you that she's going to every day feel your presence. She's going to draw closer to you as she is just walking in obedience. She's opening herself up to just deeper things with you, a deeper revelation, a deeper walk, a deeper in your presence. And so I thank you and I praise you that she realizes these things fully. Now we lift up Stephanie and James. We love these tender, precious hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for them. I see so much when I look in their eyes. And I thank you and I praise you that you give them strength for this transition. But I also thank you that every Sunday when they come here, they look in the eyes of these individuals. And even though it's different eyes, the same love that they see of their daughter, they see that love. Because it's your love coming through each one of our eyes. And they are strengthened. And that anything that they need, that they can call any one of us, that, Lord, you lead them to. And we will be there to serve them and love on them. So we thank you and praise you for this. In your name, Jesus. Does anybody else have anything they want to pray or say?
Stephanie, the Lord would say to you that I call you my delight. My delight is in you.
Yes.
My delight is in you. And as you delight yourself in me, that shines forth. You always seek my presence.
Yes.
You always desire more of who I am. You love to go deeper, deeper in the Spirit, deeper in the Word. And for that, I call you, my delight is in you.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are my beloved. And as I take you forth now, as you are being launched into the
thank
new
you,
thing and out of the old thing, take courage
thank
because
you,
I am with you. I have already gone before you.
Yes,
and
thank
I am
you,
sending you there. You are not going because you want to. You are going because I'm sending you there.
Thank
and
you, Jesus.
I have a job for you to do. Mm. I have work for you to do. I have plans for you to fulfill. And as you continue to press into me and allow my presence to be in you and move through you, you will be amazed.
Thanks. Thank you, Jesus.
I am going with you, says the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord will always keep his covenant with you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
So, Stephanie, this verse I'm going to share with you, I know you already know this. This isn't new. But I want you to keep this burnt in your soul. This is from 1 Kings chapter 2. And this is where David commissions his son Solomon. And here's what he says. This is verse 3. Keep charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies. As it is written in the law of Moses, and here it is, that you may prosper in all that you do,
thank you,
wherever
Jesus.
You turn.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
I know you know that verse isn't new, but keep this in mind.
Thank
learn
you,
this
Jesus.
In your soul. Write it down.
Thank you, Jesus.
And have it in front of you at all times.
Thank
so
you,
the Lord's
Jesus.
Lord's going to prosper you in this.
thank
keep
you, Jesus.
Steady with his word.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Stephanie, like you tell us every time, we are beautiful souls. You are beautiful
thank
souls.
Thank you, Jesus, yes.
And we just know that everyone that meets you is going to see the same thing, Lord. And God is not a God of small things. You've done great things here. You're going to do greater things there.
Yes.
Because he is sending you. You are obedient. We pray that the blessings that you have given us will be tenfold to those that you come to.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we send Stephanie filled with our love, but we know that she walks in your love in all things. We thank you for sharing Stephanie with us. We thank you and praise you for that. you be glorified as I know you are in Stephanie. In your name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Okay, so, Stephanie.
Yes, sir.
Just look out and see all these faces. This is all the love of Jesus Christ
Amen.
That we have for you.
Amen. Thank you, guys. I love y'all.
You can hardly tell.
I love y'all.
Finally, she's expressed it.
More than you know. Man. My God. I love him. Uncle Charlie. Oh, man.
I like
that. I love you, son. You're a mighty, mighty woman.
Let's stand up. You guys can make your goodbyes and your love to Stephanie. But let's stand up and have a song of praise. Praise God for all the joyous things he's given us together.
Lord, our Lord, how majestic.
Jesus, we thank you and praise you for your goodness. We just rejoice even in times like this where we're saddened by someone that is dear to us and precious to us moving. We're also excited and we rejoice because we know you've got good things. Good things ahead for Stephanie, for James and Stephanie, and good things for us. So we praise you and thank you for that. I lift up this body. I thank you that you know the needs that are represented here. And we know that you have already met every single one of those needs. So we speak your victory, your overcoming deliverance in every situation. As people give out of their finances, I speak your blessing upon them as they do. And we just rejoice in you. We thank you and praise you for who you are. We just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You be glorified as we leave this place and we live our lives following the example you've given us through Obed-Edom. We give you the praise in your name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Tomorrow night we have Bible study here at 7 o'clock. We are in second chapter of Revelation. So, making progress. So spend some time. Make sure you love on Stephanie. But also, you know, Jesus said to John, when he was on the cross, he said, Mary, this is your son. Son, this is your mother. James, Stephanie, this is your family. All right? We are here for you. We love you. This is your family. All right? Love you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.